Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Okay, great. So today we're going to be looking at will employment.
Oh, yeah.
And specifically, we're going to be focusing on a really interesting case out of Arizona.
Sounds fascinating.
It is.
Yeah.
And our listener is actually a narrator for a podcast called Lex Plug.
Okay.
And they need to give a summary of this legal opinion for their show. So we're going to try to help them out.
Let's do it.
But before we get started, for those of you who maybe aren't familiar with it, what is at-will employment?
Well, basically, at-will employment means that an employer can fire an employee for any reason or no reason at all,
Okay.
unless, of course, it violates public policy.
Yeah, public policy. That's a big one. And that is going to be a major part of the case that we're discussing today,
It is.
which, by the way, involves a rafting trip, mooning,
Oh, boy.
and some pretty big questions about employee rights. So, to help us unpack all of this, we've got a legal expert here with us today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. I'm excited to dive into this. So can you give us a little background on this case? Who are the players? What happened?
Sure. So this case is about a woman named Catherine Wagenseller. She was a nurse in Arizona.
Okay.
And one weekend, she went on a rafting trip with her supervisor and some coworkers.
Sounds fun.
Sounds fun, right? But things took kind of a turn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there was some indecent exposure involved, even mooning.
Whoa.
And Wagenseller refused to participate in all that.
Okay, understandable.
But when they got back to work, her supervisor started treating her differently, kind of like giving her the cold shoulder and making things difficult.
No, I see. So there was some retaliation going on.
Exactly. And a few months later, Wagenseller was fired.
So she gets fired after this incident on the rafting trip where she refused to participate in some, shall we say, questionable activity.
Right.
And this is where the public policy exception comes into play, right?
Exactly.
But how does a rafting trip connect to public policy? That seems like kind of a stretch.
Well, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But the Arizona Supreme Court actually got pretty creative here.
Okay.
They used the state's indecent exposure law to make their argument.
Interesting.
They basically said that even though the indecent exposure law doesn't specifically mention workplace behavior, it reflects a broader public policy against indecent exposure.
Right.
And firing someone for refusing to engage in this potentially illegal activity,
Yeah.
it would violate that policy.
That's a really interesting argument. So they tied a seemingly personal choice, refusing to moon, to a broader societal value, like a law against indecent exposure.
Exactly. And it shows how courts can interpret these laws broadly to protect employees.
That's fascinating. So
Yeah.
we've got this rafting trip, this indecent exposure, and this connection to public policy. But you mentioned that the court also delved into the history of the at-will doctrine.
Right. They actually brought up a really old treatise. It's from 1877, written by this guy named H.G. Wood.
1877.
Yeah.
Wow, so the at-will employment concept has been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and what's so important about this treatise?
Well, it's often considered the foundation of the at-will doctrine in America.
Oh, wow.
But here's the really interesting part. The Arizona Supreme Court actually pointed out that this treatise was based on a really, really shaky legal argument.
Oh, come on. So one of the cornerstones of American labor law is built on shaky ground.
That's right.
You're kidding. The cases that Wood cited didn't actually support the idea of firing without cause.
Nope, not really. And that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. I mean, what does that say about the evolution of legal concepts?
It shows how things can change and be reinterpreted over time. And it makes you wonder what else in the law might be based on questionable foundations.
That's a great point. Okay, so we have this historical backdrop of the at-will doctrine. We have this incident on a rafting trip, and a nurse who gets fired.
Right?
So, cut to the chase.
Yeah.
How did the court ultimately rule?
Well, they sided with Wagenseller. They found that firing her was a violation of public policy.
Wow, that's a big win for her. So, her refusal to participate in this mooning incident was essentially protected because it went against the state's stance on indecent exposure.
That's right.
Okay. So, the court sided with the employee in this case. But it sounds like there's more to this story, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a whole other layer that we haven't even gotten into yet.
Okay, well, let's hold that thought. We'll come back to it in just a bit.
Sounds good.
But first, a quick break. We'll be right back.
Okay, so we were just talking about this fascinating case in Arizona involving a nurse, Catherine Wagenseller,
Right.
who got fired after refusing to participate in some, well, indecent activities on a rafting trip.
Mm-hmm.
And the court actually sided with her, saying that firing violated public policy.
It did.
But you mentioned there was more to this.
There is. Lay it on me.
So the court also looked at whether the hospital's policy manual, you know, the one everyone gets but no one really reads.
Yeah.
They looked at whether that could actually be considered part of wagon seller's employment contract.
Even with all those disclaimers they usually have.
Even with the disclaimers.
Huh. So those employee handbooks could actually have some legal weight.
They can. In this case, the court basically looked at everything, you know, all the statements, all the actions by both the employer and the employee.
Okay.
And they decided that, yeah, the policy manual could be interpreted as part of an implied contract.
Wow. So that adds another layer of protection for employees.
It does. It means that those handbooks can be more than just guidelines. They can actually limit an employer's right to just fire someone at will.
So it's not just about what happened on that rafting trip. This case is really about a potential shift in the balance of power between employers and employees.
Exactly. It shows that courts are getting more willing to find these exceptions to this at-will doctrine.
And offering more protection for employees.
Exactly. Even in situations that, you know, at first glance, don't seem related to work.
Okay, before we move on, I want to touch on something you mentioned earlier, this concept of good faith and fair dealing in employment contracts.
Right.
Did the court apply that concept in wagon seller's case?
Well, they acknowledged it. You know, it's definitely gaining traction as another exception to the at-will rule.
Yeah.
But they were kind of hesitant to apply it too broadly in this particular case.
I see. Yeah. I guess if they made good faith and fair dealing a requirement for all firings, that would basically get rid of the at-will doctrine altogether, wouldn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. They didn't want to create too much uncertainty for employers.
Makes sense.
They really focused on the public policy violation and that implied contract from the handbook, but they didn't totally shut the door on good faith and fair dealing either.
Okay, so they left it open for future cases
to
kind of hash out. It seems like the court is taking a very careful approach to this area of the law. All right, now there's another layer to this case that we haven't even touched on yet.
Okay.
Wagon seller didn't just sue the hospital, right? She also sued her supervisor.
She did, yeah.
Personally.
Personally.
Why? What was that about?
Well, she sued her supervisor for something called tortious interference with a contractual relationship. It's a mouthful, I know.
Yeah, that's a legal term for sure. So what does that actually mean?
Essentially, she claimed that her supervisor intentionally messed with her employment, like influenced the hospital to fire her. You know, for personal reasons.
Oh, so she's saying her supervisor was basically out to get her?
Basically, yeah. And you know what? The court took this claim seriously. They actually reversed the trial court's decision to dismiss it. They sent it back for a jury to decide.
Wow. So even supervisors don't have complete immunity when it comes to these firing decisions.
Not at all. The court made it clear that just because you're a supervisor doesn't mean you can act however you want.
Right.
You can't just act on personal vendettas or anything like that. Your actions have to be justified.
And in the best interest of the company, of course.
Exactly. You can't just use your position to punish employees unfairly.
So even in an at-will state like Arizona is,
right,
there are limits to what employers and especially supervisors
definitely
can do.
Yeah.
This case really seems to send a strong message about employee rights.
It really does. The court laid out some really specific factors to consider.
Okay.
You know, when figuring out if a supervisor's actions were justified, like what was their motive? What methods did they use?
Okay.
What was the impact of their behavior? You know, they're basically saying that just because you're the boss, that doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want.
Right. It doesn't give you a free pass to be unethical.
Exactly. Or unfair.
Which is good. It's reassuring for employees to know that.
Right.
That there are these legal avenues if a supervisor is abusing their power.
Yeah.
But it also raises a lot of questions for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you prove a supervisor's motive? That just seems really difficult.
It can be.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible.
Right.
Courts will look at things like emails, performance reviews, you know, witness testimony, any evidence that can help explain why the supervisor did what they did.
So you really have to, like, piece together this whole story.
Yeah. It's like a puzzle, right?
Yeah.
Was there a legitimate reason or was it just like some kind of personal vendetta?
Exactly.
And this case really shows that the courts are willing to look into these things.
Yeah.
They're not going to just, you know, automatically side with the supervisor.
Right.
They're really scrutinizing those decisions to make sure they were fair and justified.
Okay, so let's zoom out for a sec. We've covered so much in this deep dive.
We have.
We've talked about public policy exceptions to at-will employment, the importance of those employee handbooks.
Right.
The idea of good faith and fair dealing.
Mm-hmm.
And now this whole issue of tortious interference by supervisors.
Right.
Phew. That's a lot. If you were in our listener's shoes.
Okay.
Getting ready to record your LexPlug episode.
Yeah.
What would be like the key takeaways you'd focus on?
I think the main takeaway is that things are changing. The landscape of at-will employment, it's evolving.
Okay.
Courts are starting to realize that the old rules,
yeah,
they don't always work in today's world.
Right.
And so they're looking for ways to better protect employees, you know, from unfair or unethical treatment.
It's like the law is finally catching up to how we actually work and live now.
Yes. That's a great way to put it. And the wagon seller case is a perfect example of that. It shows that even in these at-will states, mm-hmm. an employer's power, it's not absolute. Employees have rights.
Yeah.
And those rights, they're being recognized and protected more and more by the courts.
It's pretty inspiring, honestly. Like one case can really have a ripple effect, potentially change the way employers and employees all over interact.
Absolutely.
So before we wrap up completely, what's like the big question?
Okay.
You want to leave our listeners pondering today.
Ooh, good one. Okay, how about this? If mooning on a rafting trip, no less, can be connected to public policy, right?
Right.
And used to protect an employee, what other personal choices might actually have a bigger impact than we realize?
Mm.
Where is the line between our personal freedom and our professional expectations?
That's a really good question.
I think that's something worth thinking about.
Definitely. And that's what makes these deep dives so great. They really get you thinking about the law, about how it affects our everyday lives and how we can use it to make the world a better place.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive into at-will employment. Big thanks to our legal expert for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We hope you found this discussion informative and maybe even a little bit inspiring. Remember, the more you know about your rights, the better equipped you'll be to navigate the working world. So keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep pushing for positive change.